good morning. It's good to have you all here. Man, you guys seem really friendly with each other. Have you guys ever had a friend or ever known someone who had a friend that was like a brother? And sometimes people take this to the next level where they're like, you are so much like a brother to me that I'm now going to have my children call you aunt or uncle. Anybody have a relationship like that? Oh, it's aunt so-and-so or uncle so-and-so. Well, I was, my parents said the same thing. I had Uncle Brian and Aunt Nancy. But you know what? I didn't realize that they weren't actually my aunt and uncle. And one day, I was thinking about my parents' siblings, and I'm like, wait a second, neither of them are related. And so we all can have a good laugh about that. But, you know, did it really matter that they weren't actually, you know, related by blood? No, it doesn't really matter in America. But with some families, it does. It matters what your heritage is, what your family tree is. And in recent news, you may have known that the Queen passed away. And so the family tree really matters in that family, doesn't it? You've got King Charles now, who was Prince Charles. Why is he king? Was he because he's like, you know what? I feel like I should be king now. No. It's because he was son, and now he was the Prince of Wales, and now Prince William is now the Prince of Wales, or at least I think I heard that. This may surprise you. I'm not super up to date, but if you are curious, you can see my wife, Katie. She loves the royal family. She knows everything about them. But in that family, it really matters. Even if, you know, some people, what I've come to find is some people would say, I just really felt like the queen was my grandma. And even if you feel like that, we don't have a right to the throne. And the same thing is, we can be a part of the family of God, and some of us can feel like we're a part of the family of God. Ah, you know, if you go talk to an average person and you say, do you think you're going to heaven? And maybe not in Ithaca, but a lot of places they go, you know what? I feel like I would get in. And, you know, if you'd say, well, you have to be a child of God. You go, yeah, sure. Or if they're going through a really bad day, they may cry out to God. You know, it was the grandpa upstairs or, you know, we'd like to think that we're just a part of God's family. Well, the reality is that we aren't. Hate to break it to you. In fact, what the Bible says we are, instead of being children of God, we're described as sons of disobedience, children of wrath, and children of the devil. Like, oh, thanks, Caleb. Good to see you too. Really, we have a different family tree. And that's a problem. But you know what? God overcame that, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're continuing our series about being, about our identity, and this week we are going to be talking about how we are adopted. And so you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. But as a reminder, we want to define ourselves. We want to ask who we are. We want to figure out who we are because of what God says about us. Ephesians 1:5 says this, He has predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And so I want us to be thinking, really thinking about what it means to be adopted. Something that all of us kind of take for granted and know is that if you are adopted into a family, you weren't in that family before. And so we're going to think about that now. First, as adopted, separation is replaced by sonship. Separation is replaced by sonship. We, at one time, were not a part of the family of God. And that can feel a little uncomfortable at first, but that's not a bad thing. We have been brought into the family of God. And you know, even if you know this, you can tell that one tree is not the same as the other. but we've been brought in, even though we're from a different family tree. And, you know, some adoptions are more obvious than others. You know, in the first two pictures, there's a black child with a white family. In the second picture, a white child with a white family. And, you know, some are more difficult to tell than others. But the reality is that all those adoptions are from one family coming into another. But what Paul is interacting here when he's writing to the people of Ephesus, he is writing to a people who knew they weren't a part of the family of God. It was obvious that they didn't fit in. If you were in the first century and you said, who is the God, who is Yahweh the God of? It would have been the people of Israel. Very distinct. And so the fact that we are Gentiles, not Jews, we can especially recognize that there was a time when we were distant from God. Paul says this in Ephesians 2. Remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, were without Christ. He describes us as being aliens, strangers, and without God. But then down in verse 19, he says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but what? Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. But he's not just saying, oh, you've always been that way. Don't worry. You don't have to feel uncomfortable. He's like, no, we recognize this. We recognize that there once was a distinction and you have been brought in to the family of God. Separation is replaced by some sonship. That's what adoption means. And that also means that a beneficial inheritance is given. Now, those of you who know of someone who's adopted someone or have been adopted or yada, 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 we don't really think about this. It doesn't really matter what family you get into. Adoption is just a good thing. You know, there's a commercial that says, they don't need the perfect parent, they just need you. And there's a great aspect to that, but if you are made a son, then you are brought into the family of God, and that means you have an inheritance. And I think this is maybe more helpfully, the weight of this is, did you guys hear about the person that was adopted into the royal family? Yeah, King Charles actually has adopted Brian Morgan. You guys may have heard that he was on a recent hunting trip, but in reality, he was with the royal family. Here he is with Papa Charles. Charlie, actually, where are you, Brian? What do you call him? Never mind, don't tell me what you call him. And here he is in a recent family photo. Brian, I asked you, just remember, I asked you, do you mind if I use you as an analogy? And so now King Charles has a new heir to the throne, Brian. And he is going to be Brian the Second. You're Brian the Second? Well, that's because Brian the First was Brian Boru. I actually looked up, this is a real guy, High King of Ireland. And so Brian the Second. We submit humbly to you. So, if this was true, and if you couldn't tell, my Photoshop skills are not that good. If this was true, he would not buy the crown, he would not earn the crown, and he can't merely claim the crown. He would inherit the crown. If we are adopted into God's family, that's a big deal. Because there are some glorious aspects of being in God's family, of God working through you and in you. You guys remember Simon the magician? He started to believe about this Jesus and the Messiah, and then he saw these signs being done, and then he says, hey, can I pay to get that? And Peter just says, no. You cannot buy your way into the family of God. Adoption means, number one, separation is replaced by sonship. Praise the Lord. And number two, a beneficial inheritance is given. You have been grafted in. You are a part of the family of God. But how are you adopted? How are you adopted? Well, if we back up and we put things together, God has blessed us just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, having predestined us to adoption. And so do you see there that those two sections underlined? He chose us and predestined us. Wait a second. Chosen and predestination? You can't say those two words without John Calvin popping up. And he says, God alone decides to save you. God causes you to repent. But then Jacob Arminius hops up in the other corner and says, you can respond to God in trust. You have a free choice to make. And a battle royale immenses. And you guys now get to sit here for the next 2 hours as I get to tell you how this really works out. Some of you may be going, yes, I knew this was in this verse, and I am so excited that he's going to talk about it. And then more of you are like, oh no, I knew this was in this verse, and I knew he was going to talk about it, and I'm just dreading it. Or maybe you're like, I don't know what's going on. But don't worry. We are talking about and emphasizing how we are in God's family. And the main thing, no matter how we are brought into God's family, no matter, because this has to do with how we're saved and what God does and what we do, the overarching thing and the most important thing is that we are in God's family because of his active, purposeful, and planned work. It talks about how he made a plan, he made a decision before the foundation of the world. And so the way that we got into God's family, the way that we received these benefits, the way that we are treated as a son, isn't like this is nice. One time my mom sent me on an errand. My brother Josh was getting married. He got married here, and then we had a reception over in Elmira, and she says, go actually to Aunt Nancy and Uncle Brian's house. And it was late at night. I couldn't quite remember the house. And so I park, I start to go in through the garage, and I notice up on the shelf, I'm like, Uncle Brian must have redone the stuff. He's got these different kind of tools. I never took him for that kind of person. And I go to open the door, and the door's locked. Oh, that's weird. So I run around to the front porch, and I am about to go through the door, and I walk by the huge glass window, and I look in the huge glass window, and there's a family sitting down to eat. And they look at me, and I look at them, and then I run away. And then the person comes out and says, hey, you want to join us for dinner? And they would have welcomed me into their family. They would have treated me. I would have enjoyed a family meal. Was that a planned thing? No. And that's how it is with God. It wasn't just this, this is a nice thing. No, God has been working to bring you into the family of God. And in fact, the other important aspect of this, it's important to see what it's not. It is primarily because what he has done, and it is primarily not what we do. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 say this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so we see that God's active and purposeful and planned work brought us into the family of God, and it's not through merited means. I don't do something to get into the family of God. And then secondly, in a second aspect of this, it's through unexpected means. I am in the family of God through unexpected means. Because if you were in the first century and you were living around the time of Jesus, you guys might remember the distance that was there. There was Jews and who were the people of God, and then there was everybody else. And so it presented the idea that if anybody wanted to become a part of the family of God, they had to become a Jew. They had to become a part of Israel. But that's not what God was actually doing. In Ephesians 1, 9 and 10, it says this: He made known to us the mystery of his will. That is something that wasn't known previously. It was like this haze. Like, it looks like it's one thing, but then it ends up turning out to be something different. To bring together all things in Christ. Instead of having to attach yourself to the people of Israel, what you have to be in order to be in God's family is to be in Christ. In Christ. And you might remember what Pastor talked about a few weeks ago. You were either in Christ or you are in Adam. You are either a maple tree that is distinct from... Actually, I shouldn't have said that because I don't know what that other tree is. Anybody know? Based on that leaf pattern. It's a cartoon. That's okay. But you're either in Christ or you're in Adam. But when you are in Christ, you are amazingly brought into the family of God. That's why it says we have been predestined to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. And so adoption means, number one, separation is replaced by sonship, a beneficial inheritance is given, and then third, intentional involvement was vital. You and I don't get in because we decided to. We don't get in because we want to. When God comes back, when Jesus Christ comes back, it's going to be glorious. And there are going to be some people who are like, I'd like to get some of that. But you know what? That's not how, you can't just want it. You have to be a part of the family of God. And the way that you become a part of the family of God is through Christ. And the way that happened is by God's purposeful involvement. But have you ever had a really big plan, a really big project that you have to work for and strive for? You know, that's what God apparently did. So how does he feel about all of this? You know, I'm not saying your dad's like this, but maybe you can imagine a dad who says, all I do is work. Ugh. Or maybe a different, maybe a business executive. And he says, well, I'm letting you go because I have this plan that I have to do. And, you know, you're getting in the way of the plan. Or getting back to the dad analogy, do you know what I do for you? You know, because we're not always lovely people. This can give us the idea that God is cold, distant, and if he does it, it's begrudgingly. But you know what? Ephesians 1:5 says this: He has predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. This is a choice that corresponds with his character, but it's a choice that is commingling with delight, with happiness. William Hendrickson gave us this good analogy that cuts to the heart of this. A person may be fully determined to submit to a various serious operation. Again, he may be just as determined to plant a beautiful rose garden. Both are matters of the will. However, the latter alone is a matter of delight. That is, of his will's good pleasure. Thus, God, who does not afflict from the heart, because that's not the truest aspect of his character, he also delights in the salvation of sinners. He delights in bringing you in to a close relationship. How many of you garden? How many of you do it because you should? How many of you actually enjoy gardening? Nobody enjoys. Okay, we do have some. Yes, I should have known that one. God delights. And it's pretty amazing, because that means that when he adopts us, we share in a delightful relationship. This is pretty incredible, considering of everything that he's done, but God delights in you as his child. I was talking to Bill earlier, and he was like, kids are great. And Bill, I'm sorry if I misquote you slightly. You can go to him if you want to hear the real thing. I'm just a cheap imitation. But then he's like, he says something about God looking at us in a way and just going, ah, that's my child, that's my kid, and just loving it. And those of you who are parents, when they aren't pulling your hair out, you understand that delight. And the reciprocal of this is that we delight in him as well. Right at the beginning of verse 3, what does Paul say? Blessed be the God, the Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our response to what he has done is to praise him. And not just because he says, line up and say you love me. No, because he treats us as his child. He delights in us, and it is a natural and fitting response to then delight in him. And especially because we see ourselves with the idea of being adopted. When we keep in mind the picture of adoption, it helps us to be thankful. We're thankful because the separation that was there is replaced by sonship. We're considered a son and daughter. That's actually, in a lot of languages, adoption literally means a child becoming a son or daughter. You know, I can't just decide to go up to a child and say, okay, we're going home. Do you know what that's called? Kidnapping. And likewise, any child can't come up to my fridge, come into my house, open the fridge, and grab food. Do you know what that's called? Stealing. We have been made God's children. That's a special status. Secondly, a beneficial inheritance is given. We have an amazing future ahead of us, an amazing reality now, but especially ahead. Revelation 5 talks about how the blood of Jesus Christ, the one who is the worthy lamb, he has made us priests and kings to God to reign with him. I can't even imagine what that's going to be. But that is because we are a child of God. Did he have to do that? No. And that is pretty amazing. We see the work that he's done, and we go, wow, that was for me? Thank you, God. And then even in mind of all of that, he delights in that. Because remember, what did he have to do in order for us to become a part of the become a part of his family? He had to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die. Would you delight in that? God delights in that, though, because he loves you. And so we've looked at four different aspects of what this picture of adoption means. Because I'm not adopted. I haven't grown up with that. And I think most of you probably haven't been adopted either. I want us to think a little bit more, to understand a little bit more about that picture, so that we can more greatly appreciate what it means. Would you lead in? Do you remember when we tossed the box around? Who are you? I hope after today you can say, I'm adopted, and that's pretty cool. I'd ask the worship team to come up now as we close our time in worship of our great God.